May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. As many of you know, this summer, Mike and I had the opportunity to travel to Europe, and while we were there, we stopped in Germany primarily to see friends. Mike's family had hosted Basti as an exchange student back in the year 2000, and though we had made it over there for their wedding and had met his wife a few other times here in the States, we never gotten to meet his daughters. So I had items on my London and Paris sightseeing list. But in Berlin, the primary attraction was visiting with the John family. Still, Basti and Anna were gracious hosts who showed us around, and on the way to somewhere else, they pointed out the Kaiser Wilhelm Memorial Church. In the middle of the busy streets of Berlin stands a bombed-out church, virtually destroyed during World War II. Basti explained that the community had chosen not to tear it the rest of the way down, and that it had stands as a memorial to this day. Well, now I had something on my sightseeing list. Mike and I visited the church a couple of days later, and we learned that it was hit during a raid on November 22, 1943. The minutes from the first parish church council meeting after the bombing described an effort to clear away rubble in order to hold Christmas Eve services in a meeting hall. I could see in my mind's eye Dave Hunt rallying the property team to do the same if our church were in that situation. We can understand how important it would have been to that community to be able to gather for that special service, how it would have offered a little bit of hope in a very dark and unimaginable time. Now, it wasn't until 1946 that conversations began about what to do next with the property, and a decision wasn't made until 8 years later. The chosen design for a new building involved tearing down the remains. But Berliners did not accept this decision, and the architect had to rework his plan, which involved building the new church around the remnants of the old. The remains of the original building now serve as a place of remembrance and stands as a challenge to us all to constantly resist the solution of political problems by means of war. Now, surely, there were good reasons not to keep the bombed-out building as part of the church. First, aesthetically, it's kind of an eyesore. Plus, who wants to remember that chapter of history, really? Can't you imagine those long council meetings where surely some asked, wouldn't it be better for everyone if we just put the past behind us and moved on? Well, the remains of Kaiser Wilhelm Memorial Church stand in Berlin not because of their beauty, and not because anyone particularly wants to be reminded of that horrible chapter in history, but rather because World War II and the destruction of their building are part of the church's identity. And even though they built a new, modern building for their congregational life together, those scars are now part of who they are. When given the choice to remove the scars, the community chose instead to reclaim them for deeper purpose, to redeem them. The repurposed ruins serve as a visible warning of the ultimate cost of the politics of the 1930s, but also as a reminder of resilience and healing. Even in the darkest days, God was present and led them. And that reminder just might be needed again someday if troubles arise for that community. We don't know why Thomas wasn't with the disciples the day that Jesus appeared to them, but we know that he wasn't there. And when they told him of the experience of seeing the risen Christ, he refused to believe. In fact, he wouldn't believe unless he could touch the scars himself. This seems unreasonable to us, and every Easter, the Church Universal says a collective, "Shame on you," to Thomas for doubting. But a closer reading shows that Thomas only asked for what the disciples had already received. When Jesus had appeared to the disciples, minus Thomas, the first thing he did was greet them, but the second thing he did was show them his hands and his side. Thomas is only asking for the same. Notably, the resurrected Christ is not without the wounds of crucifixion. Tolkien famously wrote, "The birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus means that one day everything sad will come untrue." But I don't think that's right. I think the fact that Jesus still has his wounds means resurrection does not undo all the bad stuff. Resurrection does not undo all the sad stuff. If it did, Jesus wouldn't have his wounds, nor remember how his disciples had fled when it really counted. Resurrection doesn't reverse the bad or the sad. Instead, it recasts it. What was bad is now seen in a new light. What is sad is now part of a larger story, one told in light of God's redemptive work. In the resurrection, God redeemed Jesus' suffering. And we trust that when we follow Jesus in his resurrection, God will likewise redeem the joys and sorrows of our lives as he did for Jesus. Totenfest allows us to remember what we have lost. Today, I will remember how my other grandfather, a Baptist preacher, couldn't carry a tune to save his soul, but sang hymns with gusto just the same. I'll remember my great uncle Arnold, who died when I was only 6 and of whom I have only one memory. The time he, a school teacher, pretended he didn't know his ABCs, and how hard we laughed as I tried to teach him. Totenfest allows us to pause and remember those we have lost. And I hope you've come prepared to do that today. But Totenfest is more than just an opportunity to remember. It's an opportunity also for us to affirm that our losses, our wounds, are part of who we are. They are not forgotten. We do not move on from them. Instead, like the church in Berlin, we build our lives around them. Like Jesus' wounds, they mark us in ways that identify us to others as authentically us. Jesus isn't Jesus without his scars, and you aren't you without yours either. Sad things may not be made untrue, but in God's hands, they are repurposed. The sad things in life change us. We are no longer who we were. We can't go back to who we were before. But the one who held us then holds us now, scars and all. And the one who saves us retains his own scars as he sits at the right hand of the Father. If Jesus keeps his scars, we can keep ours too, knowing they are only one part of a story God is still telling, a story where all things are made new. Thanks be to God. Amen.